Let's open our Bible to Isaiah chapter 45. It's Old Testament. It's Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 12. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. Verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Let us read verse 22 together. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. It's up to there. As I told you yesterday, man is born into this world. And we live a very short time, only a few, several decades. And we have to depart from this world. And there are things that you have to do. And there are things that you need to obtain in your life. But more than anything else, the most precious and important thing is not for us to live in this world a good and comfortable life. Physically, but it is to seek something that is more precious, something more absolute, and it is a very important and impending question. And we need to solve this question, this problem, and that is to first know God who has created the heavens and the earth and who rules this universe and also who has created us. And by understanding His grace, we need to establish right relationship with God and our spirit. Our spirits need to be saved. So even though we may die physically sometime in the future, as the verse says, when my skin is destroyed, I shall see God. We need to have the right faith so that we can enter into the eternal kingdom of God. And we need to receive this glorious and eternal hope. And if we can get this, there wouldn't be anything more important than that. Many people want to make this world a better place to live. They want to make it more enjoyable, more happier world. And they advance science and civilization and art. And they also develop entertainment. And they want to live for a longer, long and longer time. And they advance medical science and come up with all kinds of health foods. So this world seems to be a very good place. It seems that it has developed into a very good place. But the hearts of men are full of conflicts, dissatisfactions, sense of inferiority. And we are always feeling insecure. Although our heads are full of knowledge, our hearts are empty. Science advance and knowledge increase. And people are enjoying these civilizations more and more. But the hearts of men are becoming more wicked. And people are becoming rougher and rougher. What's the reason? As I told you yesterday, the reason why men commit sins is because they do not know God properly. But not only that, they do not want to receive what God wants to give us, spiritual grace, the grace that is given in our spirits. He wants to give us eternal hope and eternal life, but because we do not know that, we actually want the things that will perish from this world rather than the spiritual things that God wants to give us. And because people want to find satisfaction and happiness in these material things, that's why they are full of conflicts and dissatisfaction in their hearts. These things cannot give us satisfaction, and these are being shown as sins. People do not have true hope, true happiness, and true satisfaction. If they do, they do not need to commit any sins. Lions, if they are full in their stomach, even if lambs pass by right before their eyes, they do not kill and eat them. They just don't have any feeling towards them. Only when they're hungry, they run towards their prey and they eat their prey. Those with true happiness and true satisfaction do not harm others. If you have dissatisfaction in your hearts, if you have pains in your hearts, you harm other people and bother other people and inflict pains on them because you despise your own life. You also despise the life of others. If you have true happiness and true satisfaction in your heart, you can make others truly, truly happy and truly satisfied. If you can make yourself happy, you can make others happy. If you are comfortable in your heart, you can also help others to be comfortable in their hearts. That's why, although science and civilizations have advanced so much, the man has really fallen even more than before, and the humanity has been destroyed more. The Bible says, in the end times, the lawlessness will be around and the love will grow cold. Sin is lawlessness. The world will be full of sins. And this love, which is like life. Where there is life, there is love. And there is love, there is life. If there is no love, it means there is no life. It is as if you are dead. And this love, which is the most important thing, if this is broken, if this is destroyed, then even if you promise to live together for the rest of your life, you can turn your back against each other and that you can get divorced quite easily. Your family is broken. Parents abandon children. And children abandon parents. Friends betray each other. And they love themselves, they love money, and they love enjoyment, physical enjoyment, more than God. The Bible says so, and it is happening right now around us. People put a lot of emphasis and importance on money other than anything else in this world. And people kill over money. They even kill parents and betray friends over money. They think money can make themselves happy. If you love your money, that is loving yourself. And you will disobey your parents, you'll betray them. You'll betray each other. And people love enjoyment and physical pleasure more than God. Now we need to know what is more important and what has more priority than others. We need to think about this. We are so busy, and you may not even know where you are and where you are going and what destiny you face. You don't even have time to think about these things. But let's pause for a while and look back at ourselves. And let's think about something deeply, and we have some problems that we need to solve. We cannot help but to solve these problems. Scientists want to find out the mysteries of the universe. They want to discover the secrets that God has created, and they learn gradually. But to know the mysteries of the universe is very amazing. But to know God, who is the creator of all these things in this universe, is even more amazing, isn't it? To know God's plan and God's heart and to establish the relationship with God is the most amazing thing. And we stand before this very important issue. As I told you yesterday, God created the heavens and the earth and the universe. And on this earth, God created everything on it. And God created man. Lastly, and everything in this world, on this earth, were created for men. And God created man. God created this earth and man on it. Everything on this earth was created for man. And man was created for God's plan and God's purpose. Jehovah is the creator who created God, created heavens and the earth, and he has established this earth. And he did not create it in vain. He formed the heavens, created heavens and formed the earth. And he has established it. And he did not create it in vain, and he formed it to be inhabited. And I think this scripture is a very appropriate verse. When you build a house, the two most important things is to build it strongly. You know, you have to establish it really strongly so that it will not fall apart even if reasonable earthquake strikes it. If you can do that, that'll be a good building. And also next is, you don't make it in any way you like. You make it and design it so that it is very comfortable and convenient for people to live in. If it is a residential house, you make it to be a residential house for people to live. Now this building is a church building, so we have designed it and built it to be a church building, to use it as a church. When God created the earth, he established it. And if this earth is not established firmly, this earth is traveling at more than 100,000 kilometers per hour. And about 70% of the surface is water. That's more than 30,000 meters per second. 30,000 meters per second. That's 108,700 kilometers per hour. And if this earth is not strong enough, if it's not firm enough, then this earth will break apart. So the Bible says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. So God created this earth to be very strong. And God created it to be inhabited by men. He did not create it in any way, but he created it so that man can inhabit this world. We breathe and we live in this world, on this earth. And this is the miracle of miracles. Have you ever thought about that? In this great universe, the only place where man can live is the earth. Did you know that too? Where else can man live? When we were young, we thought, we imagined that man could live on Mars, and we actually drew some creatures like octopus and said that was Martian. We have sent satellites and robots on Mars, and it is crawling on the face of the Mars, and obviously it did not find any life form. There is no water, there is no air. Where there is sunlight, it is very, very hot. Where the sun is shining, the temperature is between 450 to 500 degrees Celsius. It's like furnace. What can live there? Nothing can live there. And also, this is Venus. It is Venus. The temperature, the surface temperature of Venus is 450 to 500 degrees Celsius, and one day is 1 year. And we have shoot satellites to the Venus. Venus, and also on Mars, we have 9 planets on this in this solar system, and there is no place in this solar system other than the Earth where man can live. People wondered whether man lived or rabbits lived on the moon. But man has been to the moon before. During the day, it's 130 degrees Celsius. The other side of the moon is 160 degrees minus Celsius and 290 degrees temperature difference between day and night. And what would happen? During the day, you'll become barbecue steak and you'll become frozen fish by night. There's no air, there's no water, there's nothing there. So scientists, as they have announced, there is no other planet where man can live other than this Earth. This is their conclusion. Only on the Earth man can live, and God formed this Earth to be inhabited by man in most appropriate condition. If we fly on aircraft internationally, the altitude is about 11,000 kilometers above sea level. The temperature outside is about minus 50 degrees Celsius. When I traveled to Europe, the temperature went down as much as minus 60 degrees Celsius. If you go outside the plane, you'll freeze to death. But inside the plane, the temperature and humidity is just right, so you can just wear light clothing and you can even sleep and you can be quite comfortable in the aircraft because they have this environment in the plane that they have created. If you go just a little bit above this Earth, that's the temperature difference you have. And if you go higher, what kind of, how much difference would there be? This Earth is 150 million kilometers away from this Sun. If the Earth is a little bit closer to the Sun, we will all burn. If we are a little bit further away from the distance we have now, we will all freeze to death. Did you know? If you are closer to the sun, then the most important ingredient of life, which is water, will all evaporate and it'll vaporize away. If you are further away from the sun, the water will turn into ice and become solid. And of course, nothing can live. Then how is it that this water stays in liquid? How is it that the Earth maintains this distance between the sun, from the sun, where water can stay as liquid? And also, the Earth is orbiting. There is the moon that is orbiting around the Earth. Let's think about that. The distance between the Earth and the moon is 380,000 kilometers. And who determined the distance? If the moon was close to the Earth, or if it was larger, then we would think that at night we would have a lot, the night would be brighter and we wouldn't need any street lights. And if it's closer, we can fly to the moon and, go on holidays. And some people might think, oh, God has put the moon too far away from this Earth. But the problem is if it's further away or the closer to the Earth, then man cannot live on this Earth. Why? Because of the gravity of the moon, there's too much difference in high tide and low tide. If it's far away, if it's closer to the moon, or if it's larger, then the water can go all the way up to the mountains and come down because of the tidal difference. If it's further away, if the moon is smaller or further away from us, and we wouldn't have any gravity from this moon. It needs to stay in the just right distance so that we have the right amount of tidal difference so that the water can circulate around this Earth. The ocean water actually controls the environment and the temperatures of the Earth. And this is quite controlled quite well by the moon. Is there anything that needs to be improved upon? Anything that needs to be changed? This Earth is rotating at 1,600 kilometers per hour. 1,600 kilometers per hour. And that's why we have 24 hours in one day. If the earth spins around quicker, then we will have morning very quickly. And you try to do your work during the day, but it'll turn to night very soon. You know, you won't have time to do anything. If the speed of spinning is slower, such as 160 kilometers per hour, then how would it be? If the length of day and night becomes 10 times longer than current time, then some people might think, oh well, I'll have plenty of sleep. But you can have plenty of sleep once or twice, but you cannot stay lying down because of your back pain. Just imagine night is 10 times longer. Because of the cold of the night, all the plants will die if it's too long. If the day is too long, then because of the heat from the sun, the plants can die. The speed of the spinning of the earth is not by chance. Because God knows our physical body, we need at least 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of working, and also 8 hours of rest. So 3 times 8 is 24 hours a day. We don't actually do that according to that, but that's the real principle. Is there anything that needs to be changed? Is this all by chance or is it by coincidence? This is very detailed calculation and design from God. Think about this. Is there anything that needs to be changed? What about the size of the earth? If it shouldn't be larger than the current size or shouldn't be smaller. Earth science scientists, I've actually heard them saying, and they said the earth shouldn't be any larger or the smaller than the current size. And what about air we breathe in now? It's about 70% of nitrogen, and oxygen takes about 21%. And we have argons and hydrogens and all the others make up 1% of the air. And this nitrogens and oxygens is held up, and the hydrogens actually flies away because it is light. And that can only be possible with the current size of the earth. And we can't actually talk about this in great detail, but according to the scientists, you know, in our thought, we might think, oh, God didn't know that we wouldn't have so much population and God made it too small. You know, we are running out of land. You know, why didn't God make this earth 10 times greater, larger than the current size? But this design cannot be changed. Before this world is full of people and people cannot live because of population problem, the world will come to an end. As I told you yesterday, this earth was created not to be perfect or eternal place. If you compare it into a house, this is a temporary building. If one's temporary building finishes its purpose, when we have the actual main building, this temporary building is demolished. This earth was created to prepare the people who will enter into the heaven of God. And when all people are prepared, then God will destroy this earth. He has to. If this world is left to last forever, then this world will turn into a living hell. That's why God's just right, appropriate plan has resulted in this earth. And when the purpose is fulfilled, that this world will come to an end. And this world we live in now, many things are nearing its limit. Science have advanced, but not only that, but we have pollutions, contaminations of the atmosphere, and the ocean is dying, and we have depleted oxygen, and water is decreasing, and we have increasing of the desert, and ozone layer is destroyed, and because of that we have strange weathers and climate problems, and the Bible says there will be earthquakes in many places, various places, and famines and pestilences, and these things are happening around us now. Scientists say that we may face springs without flowers blooming, and they say this earth is sick. The end of the world is coming. And they're announcing these things continuously. And these are according to the scientists. This earth we live in now. This was created in God's plan, was created for man to inhabit in just the right way. In this great universe, there is no other place where man can live, but this earth is the only place. It is like an oasis where people can live. I'd like to show you something on the screen. If you go outside the atmosphere in spacecraft, only 30 kilometers, you realize the importance of the atmosphere, that the human beings are protected in that atmosphere. Out of the 9 planets in the solar system, the only planet to have the atmosphere for people to live is the Earth. From starting from the bacteria to very complex life, we cannot live without air. Now, how is it that this Earth has this atmosphere with the oxygen? We wonder. In our solar system, there are 9 planets orbiting around the Sun. Let's say the distance between the Sun and the Earth is 100, and only between 95 to 101 is the life zone. The most important ingredient for life, which is water, can remain in liquid form in this zone. Only the Earth miraculously has the orbit that orbits around the Sun in this green zone. According to the recent observation from the planets, we found out that there is no other planet like the Earth, and the Earth is a very unique place in this solar system. Sometimes we imagine in our hearts, and we imagined according to science, but based on all the observations, we discovered and we conclude that only the Earth contains the life forms. If we use the expression from someone who's seeing the Earth from the outside the space, they say it is like the blue oasis in this black universe, black space. Astronauts, when they go outside the Earth and have a look at the Earth, they say it is the most beautiful scene that they can see. The first message from Apollo 11 is the first verse of Genesis chapter 1 to the last verse of Genesis chapter 1. They had 4 Bibles in Apollo 11. 3 astronauts actually took three New Testament books and 1 Old Testament book, 4 Bibles. The people who talk about science and technology, why do they take the Bible on their spacecraft? Scientists read the Bible. When they think about the mysteries of the universe that God has created, they cannot help but to bow down before the awe of God. A person called Armstrong, who has been to the moon, he came back to the universe and he was asked to give a speech, and he was actually praying to God, "Oh God, oh God," in a locked room, and he was calling out to God. And also Aldwin, he was a Christian and he was a Baptist, and he traveled around the world and preached the gospel, and he even came to Namsan outdoor concert hall and he did a Bible seminar. He preached there once. Now, we need to think about this deeply. We cannot just say God is not there just because he is not visible. There are many more things that are not visible. Air, which we cannot see, if the air doesn't exist, we will die. Elements and the gravities, if they don't exist, we will fly away into the space. Because there are things that are invisible, the visible things exist. The Bible says when God created this universe, he created visible and invisible things. Visible things are temporary, but invisible things are eternal. Invisible things are more fundamental and more important. Because there are more invisible things, visible things exist. That's why God says visible things resulted from invisible things. Visible things were made from invisible things. These invisible things and visible things were created by God, and God is not visible either. With our eyes, we cannot even see the sun right at the sun with our open eyes that God has created. And with these eyes, can we see God? God doesn't even have a shadow of turning. Nobody can see God, the Bible says. And anyone who sees God will die. With these eyes, if we see God, we will die, the Bible says. We cannot see God, but we can see many evidences of God's existence. What is the do you have any evidence that God doesn't exist? If you say God is not there because he's not visible, it doesn't make even sense. Even if you have graduated from elementary school, you cannot even say that. But there are many evidences, on the other hand, of God's existence. So many. That's why we cannot see God, but we can get to know God. And we can see many evidences of God's existence. And it is all in this Bible. Because God wants to let us know about himself, God called the prophets to write the Bible. And through the Israelites, God has proclaimed his plan all over the world through the Bible. Let's read chapter 45, Isaiah 45, verse 18 again. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I am the Lord, and there is no other. To whom God is God saying this? Is God saying to himself, I am the Lord, and there is no other? No, God is saying this to men, us. God is saying to the men, and man needs to listen to what God has to say. To the children who is inside the mother's womb, baby, I am your dad, I am your mother, we love you. You may say these things to the baby. But little babies do not even know, and do not even know who the parents are, and the baby does not even know what kind of plans they have. But the parents still love this little child. And these parents talk to the child whether the child understands or not. The child may know by feeling, maybe he is my dad, he is my mom, maybe they love me. And when they grow up, they start to understand more and more. Now God speaks to man. I am the Lord. The Lord, the Creator, the one who loves us, the one who saves us. It all means that. I am the Lord, and there is no other. God who has created the universe and also man, and created everything that man needs. This God, because of his power, we live and we breathe even now. And other than that God, there is no other God. Let's have a look at verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. God does not speak to us in a dark place so we may not know. He speaks to us in a bright place, very accurately. I declare the things that are right, and I did not say, seek me in vain. Some preachers shout, you know, believe in God. Have faith, you know, believe. Do you believe? We believe, amen. People say that. But what do you believe? If they say to believe without any reason, can you believe? If you meet a stranger for the first time, if that person says, I am a good person, believe in me, trust me, can you trust that person? Even if that person doesn't say that you've got to trust that person, if you know that person, if you know his personality, if you know the character of that person, then you can actually trust that person. And if that person is a good person and very trustworthy person and faithful person, you can have faith in him, you can believe in him. But would God say to us to believe in him without any reason, without any condition? The one who says to us to believe in him, if he is not the creator of this universe, how can you believe in him? Even Satan's and devils tell us that we've got to believe in them. Allah that the Muslims believe, they say that Allah is the creator of the universe. So if you look at the first page of Quran, their religious book, It says, Allah who created the heavens and the earth. Muhammad was a person who lived in about AD 6th century. And he met and he married this old widow. And he was praying in a cave and he supposedly received God's prophecy and he was self-claimed prophet Allah, prophet of Allah. So he took the five books of the Old Testament, Pentateuch, and some of the books from the law books of the Bible, and also combined with what he has made up, and he made up this book called Quran. And that's, simply put, it is false God. There's nothing to believe in there. I am the Lord. And if God says, and if he doesn't show us the evidences that he's the Lord, then we wouldn't be able to believe in him. He says, the evidences are in the Bible. He doesn't say, seek me in vain. I speak righteousness and I speak the truth. And he gives us all the righteousnesses and the truths and also evidences of these. And he says to us, believe in him. So you can't just go to church and just believe in, you say, believe in God. We need to first find out the evidences from the Bible, the basis on which we can believe in him. That's why if you look at verse 21, 22, he says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. If you look at Psalm chapter 56, he calls this world from this end to the other end, starting from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. Starting from the one end of the heavens and the other end of the heavens, God speaks his words and he calls men. Look to me, all the ends of the earth, ends of the world. Our country, Korea, is on the end of the east. If you look at the world, maybe Israel is the center of the world. That's why if you look at Ezekiel chapter 36, it says Israel is in the midst of the world. And if you go to the west, it is Mediterranean. Mediterranean is the sea inside the continent. And we are on the far east. As an island, Japan would be on the far east side. I've been to Japan just last week and did the Bible seminar and I said this. This is the most furthest eastern land. That's why the flag of Japan has just one sun that is rising and they say it is rising sun. As an island, Japan would be on the furthest east. As part of the continent, Korea would be on the far east. And also western and northern would be Russia. Last April, I've been to Moscow in Russia and I did Bible seminar. And it's on the northern side. And what about South Africa? So all four winds of the world. The gospel has been preached all over the world. And it says, look to me and be saved. Look to me and find me and believe in me and you will be saved. Now God calls us to save our souls. The Bible calls the people who are lost from God. Have you seen the separated families looking for each other? The father may be the chairman of a very large corporation, very rich person. The son, if the son left the father and became the beggar, and if the father is looking for the son so earnestly because he is his family, if the son returns to the father, then the son will meet a great fortune. Now he becomes the son of the chairperson of the great corporation, and he has the right to inherit all his father's belongings. The God, creator who has created the universe, is calling us. He wants to save us and he wants to make us his children in order to give us his kingdom as our inheritance. Does God say to you, you have to give money to God? Does God say to you, you have to do something for God? He says that he will save you. Look to me and be saved. Some people hate to listen to the preaching, you know, believe in God. Now God is trying to save us and God is looking for our souls, looking for our spirits.
For I am God and there is no other. It is a sin to not know God. It is a sin to serve anything other than the true God. We need to know the creator of this universe. And we need to know God who controls our life and our world. God who has planned for us, an eternal plan for us and purpose for us. Who wants to give us eternal hope. We need to know Him and we need to come back to Him. And we first have to believe in the Bible and that the Bible is the Word of God to do that. So in this Bible, let's find out the evidences that the Word of God is the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Let's have a look at Isaiah chapter 41. Verse 21. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 21. Present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. Indeed, you are nothing, and your work is nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. Now, this is the scripture that was given to the Israelites long time ago. God chose Israelites and made them to worship God. But among Israelites, there were people who didn't worship God, but worshipped idols. That's why God said to them, now, the idols you're serving, are they gods? If they are gods, then you have to show me that your gods are the true gods and present your case, says the Lord. Now, why do you present a case? And this is the court term. You present your case to the court if you want to find out the true owner of a land, for example. Now, if this land was a wasted land, but because of some kind of city planning, town planning, this land has become very expensive. And you suddenly have two owners, self-claimed two owners of the land. And what do you have to do? Is the one with the loud voice and stronger fists wins and takes the land? Or do they go scissor, paper, rock? Or do you have to cut it in half and divide them between them? No. If they claim they are the owners, then you need to present your case to the court. And what do you go to the court? Well, how do you find out the true owner of the land is? You need to have evidences. You can't just shout that this is my land. If you are the rightful owner, then you must have some kind of documents or land titles or some kind of evidence that the land is yours. That's why God says, present your case and bring forth your strong reasons. If you are true gods, then you need to show and give us the strong reasons why you are the true gods. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things what they were. And also, perform. It's not just performing miracles. One thing we have to know is that there are spiritual world and there are the spirits of God and also there are spirits of the devil. And this devil wasn't there from the first place and it wasn't created by God. Before the creation of the world, God created angels. In the Bible, there are many stories about angels from Genesis to Revelation. There are many scriptures regarding the angels, and many people do not know much about the angels. If they are told to draw angels, they draw some beautiful women and with wings on the back. If you look at the Bible, these angels have wings according to the Bible. But sometimes they actually draw babies, chubby babies and with wings on the back, and they say baby angels. If you look at hymns, it says baby angels have appeared and sung hymns. What kind of angels? Baby angels? Angels do not get married and give in marriage and they do not have babies. Do you think Bible is a fairy tale? In the 18th century, if you see the pictures and the sculptures of Europe, and you see so many baby angels, even in the churches, you see all these baby angels. That's wrong. There's no such thing as baby angels. Do you know how great the angels are? Angels number thousands and tens of thousands, and there are special three kinds of special angels: Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. They have different roles, and to these three angels, they were given the commands of all the other angels, one third each. And out of these, this angel called Lucifer, in our Korean Bible, there is no word called Lucifer. If you look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, it says, the morning star, and this beautiful name. If you look at King James Version, it is written as Lucifer. And this Lucifer wanted to become like God and tried to become arrogant, and he was cast out from God. And all the other one-third of the angels who belonged to Lucifer were driven out, cast out from God. So if you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, you know, God does not forgive the angels who committed sin. And also if you look at Judas chapter 1, it says, the wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These wandering stars refer to the angels that are fallen. And this devils, this Lucifer became Satan. Satan means the one who opposes God. And all the other angels who belonged to Lucifer became the angels of the devil. The evil spirits that are roaming around the world are not the dead spirits of people. The spirits of people cannot roam around the world. If people die, they either go into the paradise or they either go into the Hades. And the spirits of dead people cannot travel around the world. And all the evil spirits in this world are the angels that have fallen from Lucifer, fallen with Lucifer. So sometimes they mimic dead people and they play all kinds of tricks on humans, these devils. But in any case, these devils, God created, God prepared hell for these devils, but he didn't send the devils into hell straight away and just let them loose for a while. It'll take a long time to explain about the angels, so we'll do that later. But these angels, and also there are also devils. These devils, these spiritual beings have the power next to God. So with the power of Satan, they'll do wonders and miracles. If you look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, the false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, even the chosen people. They'll do some great wonders and miracles. So God performs miracles, but also Satan performs miracles too. If you look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 13, in the end times, by the power of Satan, he actually makes fire come down from heaven in front of men, and he will deceive men, so that people will not believe in God, but people will believe in the devil. So you can't just believe that it is God by looking at the miracles, because even Satans and devils can perform miracles. If Satans come to you as the form of Satan, who will believe, who will be deceived? That's why if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, Satan himself transforms himself to be an angel of light. And there are many workers of devils. And these workers of devil sometimes pretend and transform to be the workers of the gospel, the workers of God. That's why there are many devils which you say, you have to do a lot of good things, not only, you know, to speak lies. And you have to show us, present your case and show us strong reasons. You know, tell us what will happen in the future and tell us what they were in the past. If you are God's, tell us what happened long time ago. Tell us what will happen in the future. And also tell us, show the things that are to come hereafter, and also things that are to come. And if you are true gods, then you should be able to tell us these things. But what kind of gods in the world can tell us these things? There are many religions in this world. But where is the religion where you can talk to us about the past history and also future history? There's no other religion in this world which can tell us that. There are so-called some prophets, and they say that something's going to happen in the future, but they're all wrong. They're all lies. Because you cannot tell me then, and do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. If you can tell us past history, and also if you can tell us what will happen in the future, then we will know that you are gods. You're gods, if that is possible. And also, if you can do good, or if you do evil, then we may be dismayed and see it together. But indeed, you're nothing, not even gods. You are not nothing, and your work is nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. If you choose anything other than the true God as God, that is an abomination. And that God who says to us these things shows us that He is God by many evidences. He tells us about the past history and also the future history. If you look at Psalm, it says, God even counts the number of all the stars. Do you know how many stars are there in the universe? If you look up into the sky, in the night sky, if you have a very bright night sky, clear sky, the stars we can see with our eyes, we cannot even see even 1,000 stars. But according to scientists, how many stars are there? They say, like, there are, you know, 1 to 100 trillions of stars in this, you know, small spaces, and this space is full of all these small spaces. We don't even know the limits of this universe. And some scientists said that the number of stars is more than the number of sand grains in this whole world. You can't even imagine that, but that's true. But God counts even that number of the stars because God has created all of them. Wouldn't God know the past history? God is the one who started human history. And God transcends time and knows what will happen in the future. And God recorded that in the Bible. God, the history that God knows. That's why at least if you're the God, if you're God, then you should be able to show us that kind of evidences. Let's have a look at Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. It's verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Now here, I am God and there is none like me. And I am the Lord and there is no other. Why does God repeat this? The Lord of hosts says this. That's because people worship other gods. If you have the father, your own father, if you don't look at your father, and if you go to a stranger, a drunkard outside the streets, and you go and worship and serve that father and give food and money to that to that man, what would your true father say to you? He will say, I am your father. I am your true father. He says, I am God, there is none like me. And he shows us all the evidences that he is the true God. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. Moses, who recorded recorded Genesis, lived 3,500 years ago from now. But if you look at Genesis, it talks about the creation of God very vividly. Did Moses see that? How could he know what happened in Garden of Eden in detail? Was Moses in the Garden of Eden at the time? Did Moses make that up? Or is it some kind of legend? No. There's no legends or myths in the Bible. God tells us the past histories, and God could have shown the past histories as movie films, and that's Genesis. We can actually see the films of the Second World War. If you look at the films, and we can actually see it as if it's happening right before our eyes. During the Second World War, the Japanese warplanes on Sunday morning invaded Pearl Harbor, this naval base in Pearl Harbor. And we still have the films that was taken during that time. Tomorrow, we will study about what happened during the Second World War, and I'm going to show you some documentary films. And we can actually see what happened vividly right before our eyes. That happened during the Second World War. During the Korean War, North Koreans invaded Seoul. And in order to destroy the infrastructures, they actually destroyed many bridges in Han River. These bridges are destroyed. And there are so many people who are fleeing from the war, and I was actually among them. I was fleeing from the war at that time as a child. And if you see the films that was shot at that time, you can actually see it as if it is happening right before your eyes. Wouldn't God be able to show what happened in the past like a movie film? Of course he can, and that's Genesis. The person who wrote Revelation was called the Apostle John, who lived 1,900 years ago from now. Now God showed him what will happen in the end times like movie film, and record and write this, what will happen in the future. So that's why John said, I saw that the ocean is dying in the end times, and trees are dying, and people are dying because of famine, people are dying from pestilences, and there'll be a tyrant who will control the world in a very cruel way. And there will be a world where people will not need any money, no card, they'll just have mark on their right hand and forehead, and they'll buy and sell with this mark, and anyone who doesn't receive this mark will be beheaded. And this cruel tyrant will appear and rule this world. And from Euphrates River, the last war will erupt, and on one year, 1 month, and 1 day, 1 hour, we don't have when that will be, but during that time, in 1 hour, 1/3 of mankind will die, and the last war will erupt in a place called Armageddon in Israel. And the soldiers from the east will be involved, and European soldiers will be involved, and Egypt will be also involved, and Russia will be involved. The whole world will come to this place, and the last war will be erupt. This is all in the Bible, in Revelation, and also in another Bible. And lastly, the nuclear war will erupt, and mankind will be destroyed. And there will be just very, very few who may survive this nuclear war. And God showed him what will happen in the future. That's why I am declaring the end from the beginning. There is the beginning in the Bible, and there is the end in the Bible. The things that will happen in the end are declared from the beginning. It's not only in Revelation, but in many other books in the Bible, there are many descriptions of the end times. If you look at Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. Unless God tells His prophets about His future, He doesn't do it. Before He does something, He shows it to the prophets first. And He does it according to He has shown to the prophets. Then did prophet just hold that information to himself and die? No, He recorded it in the Bible. In the Bible, we have the stories of the human history, the beginning of human history. And also we have the histories of the past and also histories of the future. What will happen in the end times? Everything in the Bible. That's the Bible. Whether this is really the case, we need to find out. And also, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. My counsel, that means God's wisdom, God's plan, shall stand. It means that it will come true, and I will do all my pleasure. It means God's plan and God's purpose shall stand in the Lord's Prayer. As God's will is done in heaven, let it be done on earth. We pray that. Just like God's will is done in heaven, it means it is already determined. And that will be done on earth in the history of mankind. Before you actually build a house, you have a plan drawing. Architects draw drawings, and builders actually build according to the plan. Just like that, God has plans and purpose that He has written in the Bible. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1, there's a time, there's a season for everything, and there's a time for every purpose under heaven. And during that period of time, the God's purpose is revealed and God's purpose is fulfilled. And when you pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, do you know what that really means? Do you know what God's will is done? What God's will is? Even if you don't pray, God's will be done. But why do we have to pray? That means you have to know what God's will is. And you have to be part of God's will. You don't even know what God's will is. And if you live away from God's will, and if you just say to your lips, let God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what kind of prayer is that? What is God's will? If you look at John chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus said, this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. Man who has created, every single man who has created, was created after the image of man, although he has fallen away because of sins and he is in the fate of destruction. If he believes in Jesus Christ and believes that Jesus Christ has forgiven all our sins and He has saved our spirits and made us His children, it is God's will to take these people into God's kingdom. And that's the original purpose of the creation of man. And God will save mankind and send these people into heaven. And this is God's will. So through Jesus Christ, for us to be saved and to go into heaven is God's will. That is God's will. When you're saved, God's will is done. When I am saved, God's will is done. That's why the Bible says two things. One, the Bible is the history of mankind in God's eyes, from Genesis to Revelation. And this is a very accurate account of history. The things that have happened until today has been recorded in the Bible, main events. And the things that are happening now on earth, the natural occurrences and scientific things, political things and economical things and warfare things and also moral and ethical things, and all these things are recorded in the Bible. It is really happening according to the Bible. And what will happen in the future, that's also recorded in the Bible too. Some have already taken place. Well, you can't have some right and some wrong. All have to be right if the Bible is to be true. That's why the Bible is the history of mankind in God's eyes, God's view. The Bible and the history is just like the two gears coming together and turning each other. The Bible and the history is going really well together. The world history is taking place according to the Bible. And if that happens, and that's the most definite evidence that this Bible is God's words. History is His story, God's story. If someone makes a movie, the director cannot just make movie any way he likes. He makes the movie according to the scenario. Just like that, this Bible is history. This is a scenario for the world history. And this world history is unfolding according to this scenario. So let's say that if you read the scenario like War and Peace, or Romeo and Juliet, whatever. Let's say you've read it. You've read it many times. And when that is made into the movie, you watch the movie. And when you watch the movie, you know what the story will be. And you know what will happen next. And you know when the movie is just about to end. Because when the story comes to an end, the movie also comes to an end. If you know the Bible very well, then you know why the histories have unfolded in the way it has unfolded until now. And you know which point in history we are living now, and also you know what will happen in the future. You can truly know that. And if you know that, you will be amazed. How on earth can this be, you will think. And if you know all this, you cannot help but to believe. How can you not believe? So before we learn the histories of mankind, you and I have to make one promise in our hearts. If you see the Bible and the history really fits together very well, then can you believe that this Bible is the Word of God? Can you? Let's make this promise. When we make this promise, we have to keep this promise. Some people, some smart people may say, How will that be? Do you really think the history is happening according to the Bible? You know, he's just trying to force them to fit together. If you put it on your nose, it becomes a nose ring. If you put it on the ear, it becomes an earring. Some people might imagine that. No, whether I am making it up, whether I'm trying to force to make it fit together, or whether they are literally happening according to the Bible, you can see it for yourself. If that is true, if that is true, then you have to believe that the Bible is God's words, and you have to kneel down before the Bible, and you have to acknowledge that the Bible is true, God is living, the Bible is true, and this is true, and you have to kneel down and acknowledge that the Bible is true. All the moral sins, there is no one who cannot be forgiven from those sins. But if you deny the absolute truth, if you do not believe in the absolute truth, then reject this willfully, that sin cannot be forgiven. Do you know that? So if you actually see this absolute truth, if we discover that, we need to kneel down and acknowledge that. We have to accept it as it is. And in this history, there is the history of the devil, and there are people challenging God, and there are all kinds of evils and deceits and wars and all kinds of miserable things and last judgment of God, and all these things are in this history. But despite that, in this history, there is also God's plan and God's purpose, and that will be fulfilled without fail. As I told you just now, God's counsel shall stand. And that God's counsel, God's will, is to save the man who has fallen into sin and save those people and send those people, bring those people into heaven. And this is God's will and this is God's plan. So when the gospel has been preached all over the world, then the end will come. So while this gospel is being preached, people who understand the truth and the gospel will be all prepared during this time. So from spring to autumn, enough time is given for all plants to bear fruit. And in autumn, in fall, whether it is chaff, whether it is the right crop, you know, you can distinguish between them too. The crops will be stored in barns and chaff will be burnt in fire. And in this history of God, we are living in this history of God. So let's have a look at this briefly. The Bible, we say it is true. The Bible is truth. Truth means facts. Anything that is not facts cannot be true. The Bible is true. It means the Bible is facts. Bible is facts. It is not legend or it is not myths. It is not stories made up by man. What kind of facts are there? The facts about creation, facts about science, facts about history, facts about spirits, facts about eternity. There are these five kinds of facts. And out of these five facts, the easiest facts we can learn about is the facts about history. Creation, science. Some people say Bible is not scientific, but that's not right. Do you know how accurately the Bible is scientific? God is a scientist. Science, as we know, is to know only a very small part of God's science. And after my skin is destroyed, I shall see God. And this is a spiritual fact. And eternal heaven and eternal hell, this is also facts about eternity. And these spiritual things are a little bit hard to understand, so let's just put it aside for now. And the easiest way to find out the Bible, if that the Bible is true or not, is to learn about facts about history. And if you can actually know that, we can believe in the facts about the spirits and facts about eternity. So first, let's have a look at the history, facts about history. And if you believe that the Bible is true and God's words, then we can believe and know about the things that we cannot even see, such as spiritual facts and facts about eternity. So let's learn about history in the Bible from now. There are many events that took place in the Bible that are important. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Let's have a look at verse 10. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, and where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the Oing stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Hittagel, and it is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is Euphrates. So there are four rivers in the Garden of Eden. People think, oh, this is legend, the myths about Eden. Eden is not legend. The God formed the Garden of Eden and put the man he had formed in that garden. Adam and Eve were living in this Garden of Eden. And in this Garden of Eden, there were four rivers. For man to live, the most important thing is water. And there were four rivers that are flowing in this Garden of Eden, and out of them, the ones that we know now are the third and fourth rivers. The third is Hittagel River, which skirts around the land of Assyria. This is the Tigris River of today. The fourth river is River Euphrates, and we still have Euphrates River. And this is where the first civilization sprang up for the mankind. In Hebrew language, it's Hittagel, but it is in Greek language, it is Tigris. And still in Iraq. It starts from Turkey, and it goes through Iraq and flows out to the Persian Gulf. And this is where the human civilization sprang up. And with these rivers, these rivers are in the Middle East, where Israel, current day Israel, is. Let's have a look at the map. Now this is the world map, and this is the Mediterranean. And our country, Korea, is on the Far East, and this is where Israel is. And this is the location of Garden of Eden in the midst of the land. And this is North America and South America. These continents have been taken away, were divided, separated from this continent. That's why the Bible says the earth was one, and it talks about the division of the land. And this is what we learn in high schools. This is continent drift theory. And if you actually take the North and South America to Africa and Europe, will they fit to each other? Of course they will fit to each other. So someone actually did an investigation because it looked very strange. He studied the soil composition and all kinds of characteristics of the land. They found out that it was the same, including fossils and soil contents. And he actually concluded that these continents were actually one long time ago. The Bible says that too. Australia has been separated from this part, and you have all the fragments when it was separated. Japan is like this sweet potato. This Japan was taken separated from this continent. And I actually told the people in Japan last week that Japan was actually separated from this continent, from Korea. In the beginning, the world had one land, one continent. This was the center. Garden of Eden was in Mesopotamia. The stage of the miracle was truly in existence, starting from Garden of Eden and all kinds of miracles that happened in the Bible. Garden of Eden is now Persian Gulf. This is newspaper. When I show you this to some people wonder, how could they make this up? No, these announcements by the scholars, this is the Gyeonghyang newspaper. Now this is a map, and this is Mediterranean Sea, and this is Israel here, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt on the left-hand side. And this is the place where Garden of Eden used to be. Nowadays, mostly they are lake, deserts. But 70% of oil production, world oil production, comes from this region. Iraq, Kuruna. It is deserted land, but it's the location of the Garden of Eden. This is Euphrates River, Tigris River. and flow to Persian Gulf. Four rivers from Garden of Eden. Two rivers probably flowed onto this region. And this is 1982, November 28, newspaper. Columbia, Space Shuttle Columbia, was orbiting around the Earth and took some photograph of the land. And they discovered ancient rivers. On this Arabian desert, Saudi desert, they found ancient rivers that were hidden by these deserts. They actually took it, took the photograph with radar, and they photographed the landscapes under the sand. And this is the composite photograph. This is the ancient river that is hidden in the desert. Here, there were many plants long time ago. And this was the photo from the KBS Broadcasting Company documentary. And the scholars have been there and actually excavated this place. And they found out that there were rivers, but because of the floods, it was all covered up by the sand. So if you look at this newspaper, I'll show you briefly. Now this is what it says. Beneath Sahara Desert, there are ancient rivers and valleys, and it shows that there was a great flood. Because of flood, these rivers were actually buried by the sand, and these rivers, the rivers that flowed in the Garden of Eden, they say that this is perhaps one of the rivers that were discovered, the rivers discovered are the rivers in Garden of Eden. Former NASA scientists, according to satellite pictures, say this. Sahara used to be green land before. Sahara is a desert now, but it used to be green land before. Very fertile land. Why? Because they see all these pictures on walls of caves. These animals and harvesting and hunting, and they are hunting on a boat. In the desert, they discover all these pictures on walls of caves where people used to live. And they assume that this is a place where a lot of trees were. And also, if you look at Ezekiel 31, verse 18, the glories, the trees in Garden of Eden were glorious and great, and they went under the earth. The greatness and glory of these trees went under the earth. The trees in Garden of Eden, they were great and glorious. Now, I heard that there was the biggest tree in the world, and I've been to Sequoia Park in America. I've been to there three times, and this is us. And you see these little people, and these trees are so great, and these are fallen trees. And these trees, the circumference is more than 30 meters, and diameter is 11 meters. The height is up to 120, 130 meters. They are 1,300 to 1,400 years old. Sequoia trees. And the trees are red. Look at these trees. And they actually made a tunnel on the base of the living tree, and you can even drive through. I've been to there three times, and I haven't seen the whole park yet because it's so large. So you feel as if you are in the middle of the bush of the buildings. So what about the trees in Garden of Eden? How great and how glorious would they have been? The Bible says greatness and glory of the trees in Garden of Eden went under the earth. And the trees in Garden of Eden must have been larger than these trees. And even people, you know, like Adam lived 930 years. And there were animals such as dinosaurs, you know, animals as big as houses. And I've been to Russia, St. Petersburg. I've been to a museum in the city, and I saw the skeleton of a dinosaur. I've been to Washington and also to the Museum of Natural Science, and I've seen some dinosaurs, skeletons. And there are Archaeopteryx, the birds, and the dinosaurs. The world was not like now. They had very right humidity and right temperature, and that's why they could grow so large. And during the flood, all those things went under the earth, and that's why we have so much oil in deserts. Would you have oil with desert sand? Now look at this dragonfly. This is 1 meter wide dragonfly. And at that time, they probably had dragonflies that are as big as 1 meter wide, and they were flying away. So if you look at the rocks that ancient people have moved, you cannot even move it without the use of crane. And the oil comes from the plants and animals that were buried during the Noah's flood. Oil comes from the buried animals and plants that were buried during the Noah's flood. That's the oil. And you see all these legends here? I've been to this place twice, and I've traveled about in this region three times. And you can see many installations of excavating oil from the earth. And you see some installations where the pump is, you know, moving back and forth. And how come you have so much oil from desert? In the time of Genesis, there was the clear water layer above the atmosphere. And this is the water above the firmament. And there was no equator, and there's no polar region. The temperature was just right. That's why people could live 900 years. It is possible. During the Noah's flood, this water layer above the earth fell onto this earth as rain. And this water layer acted as a barrier. After the flood, that's why the human lifespan dramatically was reduced. Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden, not a single scientist objected to this. If you say that the Africa jungle used to be Garden of Eden, then people could believe that. But the desert, today's desert, is the Garden of Eden. The one thing that America wants most is the oil from Iraq, and that's the best quality oil. Saudi Arabia produces most oil, but the quality of the oil from Iraq is the best. And this is where Garden of Eden used to be. Archaeologically, with all these evidences, it fits with the stories in the Bible. From the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve disobeyed God's word, and they were driven out from the Garden of Eden. And many people were born from Adam and Eve. Because they betrayed God and disobeyed God, they were stealing from each other, they harmed each other, they had committed adultery, they killed each other, they were committing all kinds of sins. And people who were made in God's image were wicked and evil, and God was sorry that He made all these people. And God decided to wipe these people from the face of the earth. But Noah and his family, 8 of them, worshipped God very well. So God told Noah, "This world is full of sins, and I will destroy this world with water, but make an ark as I command you. The length and width and height, you know, in 3 decks, you make it from the gopher wood, and this is how you will make it waterproof." You know, God has given very detailed instructions to make this ark. And as soon as the ark was completed, the animals in pairs came into the ark, and the world was judged with water. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 7, verse 17. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days, and the waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills into the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh that moved died that moved on the earth. Birds and cattle and beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was breathed of spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both men and cattle, creeping thing and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. All mankind and animals that breathed with nostrils died because of the flood, and the waters prevailed for 150 days. Only the ark was floating above the water. around the world, even today, you see many traces of being submerged by water. Even Korea, we have many traces of this great flood. Now, I've been to the Jeollabuk North Province, and I've been to this Mai Mountain, Mountain Mai. It literally translates into the mountain of the horse ear, because if you look, get the mountain from far away, they look as if two ears of the horse head. And it's about 670 meters above sea level. But all this mountain is all with gravel. This gravel, this pebble stones were actually made from being inside water for a long time, and they become very round and very smooth. They were not pebbles and round stones from the beginning. How is it that these stones that are usually found in seas and rivers are on the mountain that is 670 meters high above sea level? I've been to this mountain three times. When I went there for the first time, I asked the villager, how is it that the mountain is full of pebbles? And he said, long, long time ago, this whole place was under the water. We don't know when that was. We don't know where the water went. And I've been to that place a few years ago, and I went up to the mountain when I was doing the Bible seminar there, and I asked the great old man in the temple, and he said, perhaps it was the mountains were formed because of the diastrophism, movement of the earth. But the formation of these mountains, because it was under the water, and also formation because of the earth movement, they are two complete different things. Now, if it was when it was under the water, these storms, this whirlwind can form. You know, if this whirlwind, like the tornado, comes, is formed, even cars and houses can fly away. And these things, these whirlwind can happen inside water, whirlpools. And these whirlpools can actually whirl around and go up into the sky. And sometimes that happens in the middle of the sea with a tornado, and some people actually call it, oh, the dragon is flying up into heaven. No, that's not that, but it is actually the whirlwind. And if this whirlwind forms in the water, you can even form a small island, because it'll actually collect all the stones and all the sand, and it can actually form this mountain. And if the water just goes away, then you have these two great mountains and these islands formed under the water. And I'm sure that's how that was formed. And I've been to Rocky Mountains twice. Even in summer, the mountain had perpetual snow because it was so high and so cold. But when I saw the tourist guide book, it says the Rocky Mountains used to be under the water a long time ago. It may be hard to believe, but it's true. And as evidence is, the most the famous tourist attraction called Vempa, they actually dug the ground to build the hotel. And they found all kinds of corals and the fossils of these corals that are found under the sea in the mountain. And they displayed in the hotel. And this Rocky Mountain that is so high, how is it that this Rocky Mountain used to be under the sea? And that is because of this movement of the earth, diastrophism. The seabed must have risen up so high to the mountain. And you may actually travel around Rocky Mountains, but if you do that, there are actually rocks on top of the mountain, and some of them are very horizontally flat, and some of them are diagonally flat. And the guide actually told me that, how is it that they look like that? It's because of the earth, movement of the earth. And if it went above vertically, it was flat, and if it went actually up diagonally, then it was actually diagonally flat. And there's no other explanation. And I've been to Yellowstone National Park from Los Angeles by car. And I've been to giant canyons and all these kind of canyons. And there are all kinds of strange looking rocks. How could those rocks have been formed? it's not by chance. There must have been some kind of movement of the earth, some kind of great catastrophic change in the earth, and landscapes must have formed all these rocks, especially during the flood. When God created this world with water, the world faced very catastrophic change and cataclysmic change. And this flood turned the world upside down during the time. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Let's have a look at verse 3. And the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water decreased. Then the ark rested on the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. The water that covered all the face of the earth receded. Where did it go? Where did the water go? Let's have a look at Psalm chapter 33. Old Testament, Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33, verse 6 and 7. Let's read together. For this cause, everyone, chapter 33, 6 and 7. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouse. God created heavens with his words, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. How can you gather water as a heap? But this is the iceberg, North and South Pole polar icebergs. Before the flood, there was no summer nor winter. The humidity and temperature was perfect for mankind and also animals and plants to live. But as this water above the firmament fell on the face of the earth, then the seasons, summers and winters began, and the human life lifespan decreased dramatically, and there was a lot of change. So God pushed the water onto these polar regions and gathered the waters as a heap in North and South Poles. The thickness of the icebergs in North and South Pole, by average, in average, they say it is about 2,000 meters, more than 2,000 meters. And where it's very thick, it's more than 4,000 meters. And this Antarctica, the size of Antarctica is 61 times larger than South Korean peninsula. If all the ice in Antarctica melts, then the sea level around the world will rise more than 60 meters. And if that happens, then most of the major cities around the world will go under the water. And people cannot live. And also on top of that, because of the gravity from the moon, then the tidal difference will also add to that. And what if the North Pole icebergs all melt? Then people just cannot live on this earth. Everyone will go under the water, under the sea. Now God gathers the waters of the sea as a heap, and he stores, he lays up the deep in storehouses. It was not enough to actually store it as a heap, but God actually dug a hole under the seabed and made a storehouse of waters. And these are the storehouses of waters under the sea. The deepest sea in the world is in the Pacific Ocean, just near Guam, southeastern side of Guam, about 350 kilometers away from Guam. It's Mariana Sea Trench. It's more than like 13,000 kilometers. Depending on the measurement method, they have a bit of difference, but it is more than 11,000 kilometers deep, without a doubt, and this is the deepest sea trench. God made these deep storehouses for water. So the water that covered the face of the earth receded and decreased gradually. Now, what about this? What about the expressions in these words? Now, I'd like to show you this. Now, this is the mountains of Ararat. The ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. If you look at it from far away, it may not look very high, but it is actually twice the height of the mountain back to its 5,140 meters above sea level. And you see this cloud actually forming on the waist of this mountain. And this is the place where the ark rested, Turkey, Ararat Mountains. Noah's ark is on the Turkey, Ararat Mountains. It was discovered in this mountain. It's so high that it is full of perpetual snow on the top of the mountains. And in this place, they discovered the Noah's Ark. And it is according to the dimensions in the Old Testament. Noah's Ark, they found in the ice of mountains of Ararat. Many scholars have been to the location. And if you look here, the fossils of great ship on top of the mountain, and this is for children's science magazine. Near the border of Turkey and Soviet Union on mountains of Ararat, 5,156 meters high, they discovered great ship. And this is 140 meters long and 15,000 ton ship. And how is it that this ship is on this mountain at 4,200 meters above sea level? This is what they have discovered in August this year by the American exploration team. And as a result of investigation, they found out that this was actually made from many thousands of years ago, and it is from the legends of Noah's Ark. They say this is legend of Ark. This is not legend. This was probably written by someone who didn't believe in the Bible, but this is the true story. The ship was 140 meters long. It's as big as 15,000 ton ship. And how is it that this ship is on the mountain at 4,200 meters, which is just below the pinnacle of these mountains? This is the mountains of Ararat. And this is the land of Turkey. And these are the real pictures and photographs of the ark. Many people have taken photographs. And the person who went to the moon on Apollo 11, James Irwin, and he has also been to this place and discovered the Ark. Exploration of mountains of Ararat by the astronauts, the Ark is true. And also a French explorer called Fernando Navarra went up to this mountain and cut a fragment of the Ark, 1.5 meters, and he actually took it down and he discovered Noah's Ark. Frozen Noah's Ark, Noah's Ark is on the mountains of Ararat. This is the fragment from the Ark. And these are the three fragments from the ark. Noah's ark was really there. Noah's flood was really there too. Noah's flood was the true historical event. Great flood, we cannot escape from this historical fact. And also stories of the fact is written on this clay tablet. And it is also found in China and in many places around the world about the actual existence of this great flood. But strangely, they have very similarities between these stories. So the stories about the floods, they have strange coincidence, strange similarities. And the layer, the earth layer, 75% of earth layers support the fact that the earth actually faced great flood. And these are the sedimentary rocks and layers. And we have so many of these around the world. And the ark can contain three times all the species in the world. And this is a great size. Ark is not a small ship. By all kinds, they could contain all the animals and three times more. And this is Grand Canyon. I've been to this place before. Look here. You can actually see that they are very flat and they have all these horizontal lines of different layers. What's really strange is that this horizon is very, very flat. This Grand Canyon, the length is actually longer than distance between Seoul and Busan. When I saw this, how is it that the top is flat? Why is it this way, and how could it be? In my opinion, personal opinion, then as the flood actually went around the world, it actually made high places low and low places high, and it made very, very flat. Now, go there if you can and don't look at the valley, deep into the valley, but look at the horizon, look at the top of these valleys and these canyons. It is really, really flat, as if you're looking at the horizon of the sea. I actually saw it in the IMAX theater second time when I was there, and it said that there was a legend that great flood passed by this region a long time ago. They called it a legend, but it is a true story. And because of earthquakes, you know, there was a great valleys, and there's a Colorado rivers. And over a long period of time, the rivers actually eroded these rocks, and it became what it is now. And this is also another landmark in Spain. This is about 2 hours' drive away from Madrid. This is actually 1,400 meters above sea level. So it's a very high place. But strangely, these rocks look like mushrooms. It is narrow at the bottom. It is actually wide at the top. If you have just one, then you know people can think that this was actually made by man. But you can see many of these rocks. Same, similar looking, and the rocks that are actually eroded at the top, at the right, at actually same height. If you go to the sea, you can actually see many rocks being eroded by the waves at the same height. And some of them actually are eroded by waves at the same height. And we can understand that. How is it that these rocks are on the mountains that are as high as 1,400 meters above sea level? And when you see this, you can actually tell at an instant that this water was reaching up to this level, and it was eroding these rocks. And you can actually see many fossils of shellfish and many other sea creatures that should be really under the seabed. And a pastor who was traveling with me, he was very diligent, and he went up to the mountains and picked up some fossils. I actually bought some fossils, but he actually found some fossils in the mountains. But if you look at the top, it is very, very flat. You can actually see the rocks eroded underneath, but you can see the top of the mountain, top of the rocks are very, very flat. How can you explain this? If it wasn't the flood, how could this have formed on this high place? And this is North and South South Pole icebergs. This iceberg, 61 times the size of South Korean Peninsula. The thickest ice is most thick. The thickest part of the iceberg is 4,000 meters, average 2,000 to 2,500 meters thick. And if they actually melt all the ice on the South and North Pole, then more than half of the Empire State Building will be under the seawater. And this is a picture of the deepest sea in the world, Mariana Sea Trench. This is 11,529 meters below sea level. 11,000 meters above sea level is very high. You can't see anything on the ground. 11,000 meters below sea level, that's a very, very deep water. Now God created deep storehouse for water. This is storehouse for water. Antarctica was once a very warm place. Antarctica used to be Greenland. You can actually find from the ice in the Antarctica many fossils of animals. And because they were under the ice, they are very fresh. You can even cook the meat and eat the meat. And even in the mouth of some animals, you can still see some plants that the animal was eating, and these plants can only live in warm regions. How can you explain this? So before the flood, the Antarctica was a green land. They found the fossils of warm climate plants in Antarctica, and these are animals that were discovered in the ice of these regions, such as mammoth and dinosaurs. And many fossils of mammoth and also the trees, you know, that prove that the floods really happened. So after the water fell onto this earth above the firmament, This is the picture of that. And this is how the lifespan of mankind decreased dramatically after the flood. It became shorter and shorter, and it became short very dramatically. After the flood, there was a catastrophic change in earth climate because of this Noah's flood. I'll show you one video clip. So let's have a look at it. Our exploration for the Noah's Ark starts from the mountains of Ararat, where there is no tree. This is on the border of Turkey and Soviet Union. Ararat Mountain is more than 5,000 meters and it takes up 24,000 square kilometers. An endless challenge and exploration of this Noah's Ark in this mountains of Ararat was actually done by this Morris. I've been up to many mountains, but mountains of Ararat is the toughest mountain to climb, and this is the toughest out of the ones that I climbed. And you can see it is very gradually, not very stiff, but you can actually see very stiff valleys on the northern side of these mountains, and you cannot actually climb this valley because it is with perpetual snow all year, and you can have avalanches and landslides all the time. And there's a very strong storm, and 160 kilometers per hour wind blows there. But despite all these problems, the people, this environment could not turn away very firmly determined explorers. Many people have been to this mountain. In 1629, Marco Polo writes in his journal that Noah's Ark was in the snow of mountains of Ararat. 1833, because of the earthquakes, Turkey government actually sent the investigators to the mountains, and they found something on the front part of the ark on 4,200 meters above sea level. When they went into this ark, they actually found out that it was full of cages for animals and remains of animals. And because of the Charles Darwin's Origin of Species, it did not gather much interest from around the world. And these tree fragments that people got from the ark make people wonder, how could how is the ark conditioned now? And there was a great earthquake, and because of the avalanche and landslide, the ark was broken into two parts. And this is what we see these days. So we would like to find out the answer to this question. This was taken in 1986 by French satellite. This is mountains of Ararat. You can see this ice and snow. There's a difference between seasons, but you can actually witness arc in summer, such as August and September, when the snow is molten. But because when we have repeated warm weather, even the snow on the top of the mountain melts a little bit. And during this warm period, we can sometimes see Noah's Ark, and we can perhaps assume that it is possible to approach these arcs. Some of them have seen Ark from on the air. I was a reporter of UPI as the presidential reporter. I was traveling always on the plane with the president. And I had a job on the day, and I was flying with Jimmy Carter, starting from Poland to Iran, and in order to go to the party for the New Year. As the plane was flying above the Turkey, we looked out the window, and the Soviet MiG warplane was guarding us. And someone said at the time, you can see Noah's Ark if you look down onto the mountain. I saw it. I saw on the waist of the mountain, I saw part of the ship, and I'm sure that was the ark that I saw. And I climbed up to the top of the mountains of Ararat more than 50 times. Fernando Navarra, James Irwin, the astronaut who passed away now, these internationally well-known people just like them. I traveled on this mountain. In 1989, I climbed up to the mountains of Ararat. It's on the opposite side of Ahora Valley. It was a great ice, and there were a lot of dangerous crevasses. And that was the most dangerous path to climb the mountains of Ararat. I had citizenship of Turkey, so I had all the permits to investigate the special regions of Ararat Mountains. Other people cannot go to these places. And I went to the possible place for the Noah's Ark according to the photos taken from the satellites. And I was approaching this place, and suddenly the ice and snow fell, and I fell from the cliff. And I fell about 30 meters below. Fortunately, I did not fall into a crevasse. Had I fallen into the crevasse, I would have been dead. When I got up, I saw something at about 60 meters of distance, and I saw something, some kind of structure, like a building. It was something made of timber, wood. It's not something that's supposed to be 600 meters below the top of the mountain. It looked like the cabins of a ship. And I took my camera out and took some photos. And I saw some pillars that were supporting, and it was no doubt something made with man's hands. I was traveling with Erwin on the plane on the top of the mountains of Ararat, and I was flying on the Ahura Valley, and we saw something that was covered by the snow. This looked as if it was Noah's Ark. And we were very excited, but because our flight time was coming to the end, so we had to head back to the base. But some of us were sure that this was Noah's Ark. So on the last exploration, we actually got all the permission from Turkey government, and we actually saw Noah's Ark on that afternoon. The ark is still there. It's exactly the same as the dimensions in the Bible. And if you do not believe this, even if I tell you this, let's go there one day, together with me. Let's form a combined exploration team. But it is quite easy to go to the base of the mountains of Ararat, but it is a problem to climb up that mountain because it is a very rough mountain. Yes. God has preserved Noah's Ark for many thousands of years in natural freezer, and He displays it now in the end times. God judged the world with water. But He promised that He will not judge this world with water again, and He gave us the rainbow. And if you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, God preserved the world for judgment by fire. So in the end times, the fire, even if the fire doesn't come from heaven, with all the nuclear weapons and firepower that people have made, it will burn this earth. Noah's Ark was true. And after the flood, from the three sons of Noah, the humankind began to multiply. And these people came together and to the place where Garden of Eden used to be, and they said, let's not be scattered around, and let's build a tower, let's build a city, let's build a tower that will reach the top of the heavens. And the one who was instructing all the others, the leader, was called Nimrod, and he was a great hunter. Long time ago, strong people became leaders, and they were killing lions with bare hands. And this Nimrod was a very special hunter, and he, with his leadership, they were building this great tower. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. From verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they say to one another, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do with will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse the language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building of the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. When they built this great tower of Babel, they had one language. We do not know what language it was, but they became one group and they built this great tower. And they said, let's have this top of the tower reach the heavens, and let's make ourselves a name. They didn't say, let's make the name of God, but they said, make our name. So they thought they could make this world a great world without God. And this is challenging God. And this is the first scene where we see the humanity, the basis of humanity. So they baked bricks for stones and they started to build this tower. And when God looked down upon them, they were doing something great. But that was challenging God. So if they were left alone, that wouldn't be good. So God decided to stop the building of the tower. So God confused the language. So many languages were formed. And when they said, bring some bricks now. And it actually sounds like from below, what did you say just then? A strange sound. Are you crazy? I can't understand you. Oh, let's just stop altogether. And they seized the building of the city. These linguists, they thought there must have been one language, but where did we have so many languages? And when they were investigating about this, you know, they came to this Genesis chapter 11 and they acknowledged that this really happened. So even if we did not have this Tower of Babel, we would have only one language. How great would that be? We don't have to learn foreign languages. So they call this name of the tower Babel. Babel means confusion. And this is where ancient Babylon Empire was established. And that Babylon is Iraq of current day. So Saddam Hussein actually announced that he will build the Tower of Babel many years ago. And he will build the great city of Babylon. And this great city of Babylon over generations became the one that opposed God. And they actually captured Israel for 70 years as prisoners. And they were trying to get rid of Israel until the end. So even during the Gulf War from Iraq, they actually shot a lot of missiles towards Israel. So America went to East Iraq and destroyed Iraq altogether. Would God allow them to build this, rebuild the Tower of Babel? We still have traces of this Tower of Babel. If you travel towards Kuwait from Iraq, you can actually see the traces of this Tower of Babel, because it was built with bricks, not stones like pyramid. So we don't have actual tower, the trace of the tower, but the trace of building the tower. We still have some fragments of bricks still today. And I have all these pictures in my notebook computer, but if I show you all of that, we will have to stay up all night. But when they built this Tower of Babel, some characteristic was that there was no one who looked for God. There was no one, not a single person who looked for God. If you look at Psalm chapter 14, verse 2, it says, God looked down upon the face of the earth to see if there is one who seeks God, but there was no one. There is no one who seeked God. There was no one who was doing righteousness. When I read the Bible, why wasn't there one person, even a single person, who looked for God? Since Adam was driven out from Garden of Eden, the descendants of Seth worshipped God. And among them, Enoch was actually taken up alive while he was walking with God. And when Noah was saved from Noah's flood, he worshipped God. And his descendants also worshipped God. We have all these genealogy of people who worship God. But when they were building this Tower of Babel, and this genealogy was cut off. Genealogy, the generations of worshipping God was cut off. When people commit sin and when people fall away from God and they stop worshipping God and the memories of their God and the ancestors worshipping their God vanished from their memory. So that was the spiritual dark age, darkness age. So there was no one who looked for God. But because people have some kind of spirituality, they try to find some kind of God. So if you look at Romans chapter 1 verse 19, you know, God is manifest in them. So they wanted to find some kind of God, but they didn't know who the true God was. They worshipped sun, they worshipped stars, and they worshipped moon. They worshipped very old tree, and they worshipped the statue of animals, and they started to worship idols from there. Why is idolatry? If you don't know your parents, it is like not knowing your parents and just holding on to any man and saying, my father, my mother. All the religions of the world is man's effort to find God. But man cannot find God. Orphans cannot find parents. Parents need to find the orphan. As soon as a baby is born, sometimes things like this happens. Some people actually leave the children on the gate of a very rich person. When you open the door in the morning, then you see a little baby, newborn baby, wrapped in the cloths. And if you neglect that baby, the baby will die. So you actually take the baby into your house and raise the child up as your children. Sometimes the actual mother and father comes to them and say, this is my child, and takes the child away. I actually met an orphanage, someone who was running an orphanage, and someone came to this man and said, please don't ask me any questions, but raise this child for 7 years. Don't give him away. I will come back and I will find my child back, and I'll send him to school and I'll raise him up from that time. But for 7 years, please raise him up in this orphanage. So after 7 years, the actual father came to him as promised. And the father said, I've got nothing to say to you, but I am your father. You look like me. Look, I look like you. And he was trying to show him the evidences that he was the father. Now this Bible is God who came down onto this earth to find man and tries to save mankind, to make his children, and takes away this man to his heaven. How can God come down on this world? If God comes to this world in a very strange way and says, I am God, then people will all die because they're shocked. Long time ago, when a motor vehicle was traveling in gravel road, it was very noisy, and some people actually made some jokes, and this is the sound of God. But that's not right. God does not appear to us directly. God appears through media. For example, we have a lot of radio waves that are passing here. You know, broadcasting of KBS Broadcasting Company, NBC, SBS, and ABC. And all these broadcasting the waves are actually passing before us. We can't hear anything. We can't see anything. But if we have television set, and if you actually set the frequency, this television set turns these radio waves into the visible image and also audible sound. And this is a medium through which we can hear and see these waves. Likewise, God uses medium and shows himself to us through mediums. So there are many media through which we can see God and know God. Through the creations that he has created, his Godhead and his skills is seen to us. Through this nature that God has created, as it is written in Romans chapter 1. If you see all these flowers and animals and birds and beasts, we see the skills of God, and also the creation of God tells us that God is there. And if you look at the stars in the universe, we can think about the vast greatness of God, just like the greatness of this universe. And also, what about Jesus Christ? Jesus is a man who is God. You know, it is God who came to this world and stayed with us for a while. If Jesus was man, why would Jesus save mankind? Although Jesus had the same man's body, he was God himself. God who came in the form of man is Jesus Christ. So if you look at Philippians, he says that Jesus is expressed image of God. And Jesus suffered just like man can. And Jesus suffered all the consequences and punishment of sinners and took that all upon him and died for the mankind. And with the blood of that Jesus Christ, he wanted to save us. And God came to this world and stayed for a while and went up to heaven again. That's why Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus even raised the dead with his words, and he calmed the sea with his words. And don't think it is strange. Jesus was God, that's why. Wouldn't God be able to do that? Why do you believe a God who cannot even do that? So Jesus is the one who showed us God through his body and his life. And also the Bible is another medium through which you can see God. So if you look at the Bible, you can see God and you can know God. And also another medium is Israel. Through Israel, we can see God. So Israel was chosen specifically to show to the people of the world about God. You know, it is not God just loves the Israelites, just like a model, just like this the company which makes this glass cup. Now, the company makes some samples, selects samples and say to the people, no, this is the glass that we make. This is very strong. This is very clear. It's like a sample. No, who is God like? The people who obey God's word will be blessed, and people who disobey God's word will be cursed. And if God makes a promise, he will keep the promise without fail. And who God is and what kind of person God is, God shows all of that through Israel's as the real example. So the history of Israel is God's work. So if you look at the Bible and look at Israel, and then we can actually see how God works and what kind of person God is. And we can learn about that. And this is very important, so we need to learn about this. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. When there was no one who looked for God, God had to choose one nation, and that was impossible. So first, he had to choose one person who would become the father of that nation. From the place where they were building this Tower of Babel, from the place of idolatry, from the household of idolatry, God chose a person called Abraham. Now his name was changed into Abraham later. So Abraham was chosen by God and gave him some promises. Now let's have a look at this for a while. God chose Abraham. This is Abraham. And first is land, Canaan, land of Canaan. When a nation is to be chosen, a land should be available for the land, for the people to live. And that's the current Israel. And that's land of Canaan. Israelites were driven out from this land for 1,900 years, and they came back to the land in 1,900 years. Other people were occupying that land, and Israelites came back to the land, and they still fight against this land, saying that this is their land. This fight, this conflict is endless. And go to a land that I tell you to go. That's the land. And also second, I will make a great nation. That nation means Israel. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob's name was changed into Abraham, Israel. So Israel, Abraham's grandson, Jacob's name was changed into Israel. So you shall be a great nation, and you will become the root of blessing, the blessing for the people of the world. It doesn't mean that we'll be blessed because of Israel. It doesn't mean physical blessing. But because of Israel, Jesus Christ came to this world, and he fulfilled, he actually completed salvation, and as a result, the gospel is preached all over the world, and anybody through Jesus Christ can be saved and go into heaven. This is the blessing. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, through Jesus Christ, we have all kinds of spiritual blessing from heaven, and this spiritual blessing has come to even us. And through Abraham, the families of the nation of the earth will be blessed, shall be blessed. And he who blesses you will be blessed, and who he curses you will be cursed. Anyone who curses Israel were cursed in history. Is there any country that was not cursed that cursed Israel? Egypt made Israel slaves for 400 years, and they were cursed. And even Assyria, after destroying Israel, was cursed. And in the time of Babylon, Babylon took the Israelites into captivity for 70 years as prisoners, and Babylon Empire was destroyed by God. What about Persian Empire? All the Jews were threatened to be killed. But all the people who tried to kill Israelites were killed. And this is written in the book of Esther. And Roman Empire, who scattered the Jews, was destroyed. Germany that killed 6 million Jews was destroyed. And when the gospel is preached all over the world, Israelites will come back to the land and become a strong nation. And as per the promise, in 1948, May 14th, Israel declared its independence. Do you know when Israel was destroyed? This is BC 586. Lastly, Judah, the kingdom, was destroyed, and they never had their own authority since then. In Babylon, Persia, Greek, and Roman Empire, they were all trampled upon by the Gentile powers, and in AD 70 by the Roman Empire because of the sin that rejected Jesus Christ. 1.1 million Jews were scattered all around. 1.1 million Jews were killed. 110,000 Jews were killed, and all the other scattered all around the world. years since the country was destroyed, and who would call them a country? They didn't have their land. The Bible says, in the end times, Israel will come back to their land, and they will turn desert into fertile land and establish their nation, and this is happening in our time. Only 58 years ago from now, there was not a country called Israel on this face of the earth. When did it disappear? 1,900 years ago. And Israel appeared before our eyes in our time. In 1948, May 14, as soon as they were declared independence, the first Middle East war erupted, and they actually won the war. Second, third, and fourth, all the wars were won. During the Gulf War, America came, and they fought against the Middle Eastern Arabs. And Iraq shot missiles to Israel, and America used Patriot missiles to actually block these missiles, intercept these missiles. And America, in the end, destroyed Iraq utterly. And all the Arabs, you know, it was futile effort to fight against Israel. Why is America helping Israel? And they actually invaded America, and that's 9/11 terror. That happened because of Israel. They actually attacked Pentagon with a plane. And two planes actually destroyed the World Trade Center, and many thousands of people perished. Because of Israel, what sort of things do you think will happen in the future? Any country that opposes Israel, the Jews will be destroyed and cursed. Anyone who blesses you will be blessed, and anyone who curses you will be cursed. So we can actually see quite easily the countries that are cursed because they cursed Israel. But what about the countries that blessed Israel? One of those countries is America. During the Second World War, 6 million Jews were killed. And America actually saved a lot of Jews. And when Germany tried to kill Einstein, America actually saved Einstein. So he went to America and developed nuclear atomic bomb. So there are actually 6 million Jews who are living in America. About one-third of the Jews around the world live in America. 6 million Jews in Israel, and the rest of the 6 million Jews are living all around the world. A country called America, just like the promise that it says, anyone, he who blesses you will be blessed. America is blessed. America cannot give up the Jews. And I'll tell you this more in detail tomorrow. America is a great country. I've been to America more than 30 times, and I've seen there, and I knew that America was a great country. Just like last time, America invaded Iraq without the agreement from UN. What country on this earth can dare to do that? Now we need to learn how things are unfolding according to the Bible. Tomorrow we are going to study about something very important, and you should not be absent. Let's pray for now. Merciful our Father, we thank you for giving us the Bible as the evidence to believe in you. And through many events in the history, we now know that you are controlling this human history, and we thank you for that. And please move the hearts of the people who listen to your words and make them understand your words. Until we meet again next time, please lead us to meet again in your words, and we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.